Hi, everybody. Thank you for your support as always. The NARCCon podcast is now offering a membership only subscription of the price of a cup of coffee per month for all new and some of the old podcasts going into the membership section. Please join us if you'd like more of this content. We would love to see you there. And to remind you, should you wish to avail of the free content, it is available over on YouTube in both video and podcast form. God bless everyone. Take care, and I hope you enjoy the content that's to come. Hello, everybody, and you're very, very welcome to our channel, NARCCon, where we deal with all things in relation to who the narcissist is, how they behave, were we with the narcissist, and how to protect ourselves going forward. I hope this will be a healing experience as you gain a deeper understanding, as I did, in relation to what you've been through. Now, there is a very strong aspect on this channel where we look at the spirituality of the narcissistic behaviour. We know a lot about the psychology and the drivers for control and getting the narcissist needs met with the defensive offensive, as I say, mechanism, personality disorder. But when we look at the behaviour and the destructive result of that behaviour, and in general, the dark nature of what a narcissist is prepared to do to get their needs met, it's a very interesting take on who exactly and what exactly and where exactly a narcissist comes from, and why do they all act in the same dark way? Some of them with a greater degree of malignancy, but all of them capable of that dark malignancy and destructive behaviour, given their lack of empathy. So I've delved deeper into this, and there's two aspects that I find interesting. One is, how can we protect ourselves from them? And the second is looking at the aspect of the Machiavellianism of narcissism and the narcissist. So I decided I'd look at that aspect and see, are narcissists Machiavellian? Do they behave in that manner? And Machiavellianism is considered to be the energy of, let's say, for want of a better description, predominantly used or lived in the dark triad. So I'm going to get into this because it can give a better explanation of how narcissists will make a decision in relationships with you, and why you need to be very, very careful in relation to thinking it's okay to have a relationship with one, because this is what they're capable of. I'm going to go into this now, and I think there's 9 points of Machiavellianism and how it relates. So the other aspect, as I said there in the beginning, number one, is I believe the only way to protect ourselves against narcissism and narcissists is to walk in the light. And that means literally learning what narcissists are, becoming more observant of them rather than engaged with reacting towards them, and building a life of value for ourselves where we live in integrity and we develop a moral system that we're comfortable with. And if we stick to that, to our life purpose and the morality in which we wish and choose to live, the narcissist archons can't actually do anything to us. Because if they do something to us and it's really, really bad and we don't react, they don't get what they want. Their power is totally diminished and they stop bothering with us. They may have the odd pop down the road, but once you're living in your authenticity, which is a much overused word these days, but it's a good word for saying you live in the truth of yourself and your ideals and your morals. You walk in the light in as much as you can. I'm not saying we're all these wonderful angels floating about earth, but when you have more light in you, the darkness doesn't have a chance. You switch that light on and the room is illuminated. It's not just a little light. It may be after the narcissist has finished with you, but it's still a light. So let's get into these points and let me know what you think. I think it's interesting. Okay, so the key points of Machiavellianism. Number one, this type of person chooses pragmatism over morality. Tell me if this isn't what the narcissist does, and I'll try and give you some examples as I go through this. Actions are judged by effectiveness rather than moral principles. What matters most is achieving the desired outcome. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I know that narcissists pick people for what the people can do for the narcissist. And the narcissist works on getting whatever they came to that relationship for. And they will walk over any morality or claims of loving you in the pursuit of what they came to the relationship for. So a lot of people are absolutely gobsmacked when the narcissist goes and gives them a very cruel discard and subsequent attempt at annihilating the person in divorce or having got their names on the deeds of a property and not doing the right thing. You know, the relationship may have lasted 6 months or a year with the promise of future faking and marriage, and you bought a house together, the narcissist didn't contribute, but you put their name on the property. Well, they are darn well going to take that. And you'll be going, how can a person do that? You know, legally, it's okay for them to do that. But morally? So narcissists' actions are judged by effectiveness rather than moral principles. There is no moral and there's an agenda to get what they want. That's dark. In the name of love. Two, power as the primary goal. The main objective of leadership is gaining, maintaining, and expanding power, especially to ensure stability and control. So the narcissist will go into the relationship with the objectivity of taking over your life and leading in the relationship, even though it's extremely subtle. There is a grooming process that goes on. That is a push-pull process, is a withdrawal process, is a grooming process. When you are not completely compliant, love will be withdrawn, sex will be withdrawn, whatever it is that ticks your box in the relationship, the validation will be withdrawn and given back to you when you change your behavior, compliant with the narcissist's leadership. Maintaining and expanding power. They will want power over you, your property, your family, your children, their children, expanding their kingdom, so to speak. Especially to ensure stability and control. So what they're basically doing is trying to pin everything down so that they can continue to expand their power and control, but continue to feed off you and have a stability of a fuel supply, narcissistic supply. Three key points of Machiavellianism as it relates to the narcissist. The end justifies the means. This is huge, guys, in the narcissist thinking. This is huge. And a normal human being say, how can they justify doing that without calling it outrightly dark, evil and demonic? Harsh, deceptive or morally questionable actions may be acceptable if they lead to successful results. And oftentimes in the relationship with the narcissist, particularly in the discard, if they rob you of something, or if they cruelly leave you on your birthday, or they leave you outright for someone else without telling you, or they harm you in some way, they will justify that by blaming you and saying it was your fault. Even the cheaters, the ones that cheat, and I think 99% of them actually do, whether emotionally or physically or both, I believe that they justify that. They will come and say to you, I wouldn't have had to do that if you hadn't done this. So they will always look like the good guy or the good gal and justify devilish actions by blaming somebody else for making them do it. And this is also emotionally very juvenile. It's like, it was her fault, his fault. They made me do it. It wasn't my fault, even though it was a terrible thing to have done. 4, appearance over reality. Leaders should appear virtuous and moral, even if they are not, thinks the narcissist. Public perception is more important than true character. And there you have the liar, the out and out liar. We see these figures, particularly in public, in politicians, etc., in holy rollers and people who appear with this glowing mask of good deeds and good of high moral character, while behind the scenes, they are the exact opposite. This is the Machiavellian character presents themselves with a fake false mask and is totally into propaganda. Again, the narcissist, out of the house, the best, nicest, great, fun person, lovely person, sweet, so sweet. In the house, a raging demon. See, that's Machiavellian. That's dark. And that happens. Tell me if you've had this experience. The more we validate each other and know that this actually exists. And it's not an isolated case because there was something wrong with you. And that's what they want you to believe. So that is more effective on you because you doubt yourself. You actually start to buy in sometimes to maybe it is my fault. Maybe, you know, they had a hard childhood. They had a hard upbringing. Maybe I'm not being patient enough. And you've been standing on your head for the last 20 hours. 5. Now look at this one, guys. Look at this one. Fear is more reliable than love. Being feared is safer than being loved, as fear is more consistent and helps maintain order, in brackets, as long as it does not turn into hatred. So many narcissists rule by fear. So many narcissists believe that if you're afraid of them or afraid of having something taken away from you, and a lot of these disgusting creatures will threaten people when they're in relationships. I will take the children away from you if you leave me. Nobody will want you. I'm going to take everything from you. And worse. They don't believe in love. They use love as a tool to, it's literally bait to get people in so that they can control them. And then put them in a position of fear. These are master manipulators. And the older they get, the worse they get. The better they get manipulating. And the worse they get in having any type of humanity left with inside them. They're bitter. They're angry. They're full of hate. You know, I'm saying this so that people actually, not so you get so embroiled in it, but that you're able to put it aside and say, this is who this person is. And me interacting with them in a very close way is not comfortable. It's dangerous. And it will usurp me myself to do that. I'm not saying totally abandon them. Some of them do need that. It is possible to maintain a type of transactional relationship with a narcissist if it hurts you too much not to do that in relation to who you are as a person. But we must know what we're dealing with if we decide to go down that path and protect ourselves. These points on Machiavellianism match the narcissist's modus operandi. Number six, human nature is self-interested. People are seen as selfish, fickle, and unreliable. So leaders should not depend on loyalty or goodwill. The narcissist is suspicious of everybody because they know who they are themselves and they project that out onto everybody else. Just like a normal person projects humanity onto other people, thinking that other people are like themselves. So the narcissist rules by fear, doesn't trust goodwill and loyalty. They think, that person's after something, because that's what they would do in that person's position. This is a great glimpse into the truth of the narcissist's brain function and behavior drivers. Number seven, flexibility and adaptability. Successful rulers must adapt to changing circumstances rather than rigidly follow moral or ideological rules. Again, whatever works for the narcissist, they're going to implement. They're not going to worry about who it hurts, if it's evil or not, so long as it works. And they need something, they'll take it. They feel entitled. They feel no moral compunction not to do that. And that's how dictators operate. That's how dictators in the past and currently are following the ideology. I see something I want. It looks green and I'm going to take it. Hitler decided what he wanted. Hitler decided that, you know, he was entitled to invade anywhere he wanted because it would make him more powerful. He'd have more control over more people and it would make the country richer. So it didn't matter what he did or who he killed or how he invaded or how he treated people. The agenda must be fulfilled regardless of any ideology or morality other than his Machiavellian ideology. And that is going on in the world today. And we, you know, again, the narcissist will present the public image of being a family person and being of good moral character and then go in with this agenda. So this is painting a very clear picture of the Machiavellian nature of a narcissist. And the final point, separation of politics and ethics. Political success follows different rules than personal morality. Ethical behaviour may be a disadvantage in governance. That is the Machiavellian narcissist attitude, that this is a job, you know, we can't be going on with all that niceness and kindness and foofery because this is serious stuff and none of that matters. You know, we just have to go ahead with our agenda. So, whereas the greater good has to be accounted for in some situations, leaders have to make difficult decisions in times, say, of war, in times of crisis, you know, to do something difficult morally for the greater good. But that's a person who is not coming from a Machiavellian point of view and using the let's get it done regardless of it, who it hurts in every situation. And to me, these key points of Machiavellianism are the narcissist. It's a person who wants control, power, and who lacks empathy. and is prepared to justify, to firstly present as a false character, then to justify any dastardly deed by blaming it on somebody else whose fault it was not, and riding over anybody that stands in their way because they feel entitled to all of that power and expansion. And that is the narcissist in their own one-to-one world, in their families, in their relationships, in the workplace, and in politics. So I hope that has matched up Machiavellianism with malignant narcissism. And every narcissist who's a true narcissist is capable of the deepest, darkest Machiavellianism, given the correct circumstances, given a lucky fall of the cards in that the way was made easier for them by the propaganda and manipulation of people with their lies. So going back to the first point, if we can see what's actually happening without taking it personally and without getting involved, you know, emotionally, other than looking at the actions of this person, and if they match these criteria and the other criteria for the narcissistic personality disorder, it is pertinent or advisable, in my opinion, to keep them at a distance, to not emotionally react with them, to understand that they're not going to change, that that's their modus operandi, that's their machine, that's their engine. Unless you get a full engine replacement, it ain't going to change. And they need to be guarded against, but they need to be kept at a distance emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, so that you can maintain your light and your path and therefore not get pulled into hell or the darkness with them. And to speak out against what they're doing, not from a personal point of view, not trying to defend yourself, but bringing an awareness to the logic of the situation and saying, why would a person do this and have this result if they actually loved somebody? And they'll try and draw you back in and say, because of what you did. And it's important then at that stage to say, no matter what another person does, what you're doing now couldn't possibly justify the means. And it seems to be the way you operate throughout your life. So I need to take a great step back, a very many step backs, and continue on my life path, because you're wasting my time and you're a destructive person. Or don't say it and just walk away. That's it for today, guys. I hope everybody is well into the new year 2026 and making great plans and hopefully well protected against narcissists or making exit plans to get out. Take great care of yourselves. We are now going for a walk out in the cold, but we will wrap up well and we will see you again soon. Take care. Bye for now.